It's good to see you out tonight. It's wonderful to be back to worship the Lord. I see Brother Bell's back with us. We had a good time last night. The Lord blessed us, and I felt the Lord healing the sick last night as we prayed for the sick. I feel like that God's going to continue to bless us in the meeting. Now, I want to read a little bit from over in the book of Matthew, the 16th chapter. I want you to read with me. Looks like the crowd's off considerably tonight, but we're still here to worship God. And I'm having a good time in the Lord. We're having good fellowship. And I trust that you're having a good time in the Lord. And I'm expecting God to bless in a great, wonderful way before this meeting is over. Matthew's the 16th chapter and the 24th verse. Then Jesus said unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. But what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. Verily I say unto you, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. Here is a great statement in the 28th verse, the book of Matthew's. In the 16th chapter, we're told that some will not see death until they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. That is something to really wonder about, because when you say someone that will not see death, knowing that the kingdom of God is yet to come in the way that we as human beings consider things, and understanding that the kingdom of God is yet to come, and here Jesus is saying that some standing there with him would not see death until his kingdom come. Then you look back and you think, Lord, all of those people are dead. And here you say there's some that's not going to see death. When all of those people are dead, and yet your kingdom as of yet still hasn't come. But you know, when you understand it the way that Jesus spoke it, and you understand what the Lord was saying about it, it's a beautiful thing. When you understand the way that God understands, and when you think the way that God thinks, it's a new world altogether. It's a great world. It's a wonderful world. A different world altogether. And so then Jesus saying here that there be some standing here with us that shall not taste of death until they see the kingdom of God coming, and that in power, we get a beautiful picture of what the writer meant when he said the law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God has been preached and men have pressed their way into it. And we get a beautiful picture of the transfiguration as Jesus stood upon the mount and there was transfigured and appeared in glory there before the disciples. What a beautiful thing it is to see what God was trying to say in his wonderful way as he expressed the glory of the kingdom of God. You know, one of the most beautiful things that I have ever experienced in my life, aside from my conversion, is coming into the knowledge of Almighty God and entering into the mysteries of the Son of God. Entering into the great, wonderful mysteries of Christ is one of the greatest, most exciting things that can ever happen to a person. I had a brother to tell me today. He said, Brother Pike, after 20 years, I believe he said 20 years of being in religion, he said, last night in this tent meeting, he said, I got a glimpse of what you was trying to say, and I got a glimpse of the real thing. And he said, he went on to say that he was persuaded to believe that this was the greatest thing that has ever come into the earth to mankind. He said, and to think that all around us, there are great people that are supposed to be the elite, or the great of the earth, and they're blinded to these things, and they're not seeing these things. And as the tears filled his eyes, he witnessed to the glory of God, and he said that he testified to his companion and told her, he said, last night I fell in love with the gospel. Last night I fell in love with the gospel. You know what? I know that that brother saw something in God, because when I saw this wonderful thing of God, the first thing I did was fall in love with the gospel. When you see Christ Jesus as he really is, you can't help but fall head over heels in love with Jesus, or with the gospel of this great wonderful Christ that's in the earth today. What a wonderful, exciting thing to know that there is the revelation of Jesus Christ, and it is made available to those that will believe, to all that are willing to learn, to those that are willing to consider, those that are willing to try to understand this great, wonderful thing of God is made available to them in the world today. This is the message that is coming to the world today for one purpose. And that is not only to save people in the sense of bringing them salvation, but to redeem their body, that they may bypass the grave and that they might not have to pay the penalty of death. You know, for so long we stood by the saying that it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. I've said that many times in my life. In many years gone by, I used to preach and I'd say, folks, remember one thing, it's appointed unto man once to die, and after that the judgment. And then I heard God say one day that it is not appointed unto sons of God to die. It is appointed unto man to die, but it is not appointed unto sons of God to die. And I began to think, and I thought, Lord, what are you trying to say to me? I've never thought of that before. I've never considered that before. But God said to me, he said, you have passed from death unto life, and shall never come into condemnation. And he said, he that heareth my words, believeth on him that sent me, he hath passed from death unto life. And I began to consider, I said, but God, there's an appointment. You gave an appointment that men must die. He said, but the scripture states that God looked down from heaven, heard the groaning of the prisoners, and loosed them that was appointed unto death. And I said, well, praise God. Praise God, that's true. There was a time when God looked down from heaven. He heard the groaning of the prisoners, and he came and loosed those that was appointed unto death. You say, who then, Brother Pike, did he loose? Every person that will believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Every person that dares to believe what God said can be loosed from death today, and they can pass from death unto life. And this is what Paul the apostle was trying to tell us when he got this great revelation. And he said, he spoke of the revelation of Jesus Christ and said, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we are all going to go through a change. We shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, from mortality to immortality, from terrestrial to celestial. We're going to be changed from this corruptible to an incorruptible. So then it's so beautiful to know that God has broke the appointment with death, and that we have the privilege tonight to bypass the grave. There is somebody that's going to bypass the grave. Now the question would arise in our minds, Brother Pike, do you actually believe that a man can get around dying? I really believe that a man can get around dying. I believe it. Well, why do you believe that? Because the Bible said Enoch was translated by faith that he should not see death. And I know that there's some people that says Enoch will come back and die. But I said the other night, if Enoch comes back and dies, then I believe that the Bible will be false. I believe that there will be no God. As we say, that something strange took place, and something strange will take place, but still there's no God, that scientist is right. Because the Bible said Enoch was translated by faith that he should not see death. He should not see death. That Enoch was translated by faith that he should not see death. And the Bible tells us that the scriptures cannot be broken. If Enoch was translated by faith that he should not see death, then, beloved friend, Enoch will never come back into this world to die, because he went out of this world to keep from dying. If he came back into this world to die, then the Holy Scriptures would be made void and the Word of God would be of none effect. And the Bible teaches the Scriptures cannot be broken. So the Bible said he was translated that he should not see death. Now then, it makes me to know one thing, that God is no respect to person. If God took Enoch so that Enoch did not have to see death, then that means that you have the right to go without seeing death. Otherwise, the scriptures are still broken, because the Bible teaches that God is no respect of person. And if Enoch was translated by faith that he should not see death, and God said it's according to your faith, then, brother, if you believe the same way that Enoch believed, the same thing will happen to you that happened to Enoch. You love Jesus? I'm talking about the truth now. We're sitting here to bear witness of the truth. That's what it is. The holy word of God, the word of truth. We have the power to bypass the grave. Last night I made the statement that we have power over all the powers of the enemy. And the Bible said nothing shall by any means hurt you. Because behold, I give unto you power over all the powers of the enemy. Not only has God given us power over sickness, but God has given us power over death. God has given us power over poverty. God has given us power over everything that could oppress our minds or trouble us. But, beloved friend, God has given us that great, wonderful victory in Christ, power over death. For the Bible teaches that death is the enemy of God. I say this a lot of times so that we can understand. You know, a lot of people, they act as though death is God's friend, and that death and God is working hand in hand to bring about the plan of God. But I want you to know tonight that God hath no fellowship with death. God is the spirit of life. Wherever God comes, death has to leave. If God comes presence, death cannot dwell there. Because darkness and light hath no fellowship. Wherever light comes, then darkness must flee. Wherever life comes, then death must pass away. Because they have no fellowship. See, God did not instigate death. If we ever get it in our minds to understand that God hath no fellowship with death, that God did not bring death into existence, then we will understand God better. If you can understand that God is life and in God there's no death, God is faith and in God there's no fear, God is light and in God there is no darkness, God is blessings and in God there is no curse. You understand what I'm saying? So then when you get under the curse, it's because you get into the darkness. It's because you get out of the light. If you die, it's because you get out of the presence of life. If you begin to fear, it's because you've got out of the presence of faith. So then what a great day it is. What a great hour it is. What a great time it is that we should know the knowledge of God and understand the things of God. Paul the apostle discovered this great thing called the revelation of Jesus Christ. He said, and I am one that's been born out of season. The things that I have known, the things that I've seen belongs to another age. I should have been born over there in the end of the world somewhere. Did you know that this great revelation that Paul got a hold of took him up into the third heaven? Did you know that this great revelation that Paul got a hold of took him up into the third heaven? I made the statement the other night that a man can be a heavenly creature and still walk an earthly trail. A man can be a heavenly creature and still walk upon earthly soil. A lot of people don't believe that. But remember, Jesus appeared in glory on the Mount of Transfiguration. The Bible said he was transfigured. There he stood in glory. And he appeared with all the brightness and glory and brilliance of that heavenly world, even to the extent that his raiment glistened. But yet he come down from out of glory. He walked down into the earth. He told Nicodemus, he said, I'm still in heaven. I'm still in heaven. I've been up to heaven. I've come down from heaven and I'm still in heaven, Nicodemus. And Nicodemus couldn't fathom what he was saying. But I say tonight, would you question the Son of God? The Son of God said he was in heaven. I believe he was in heaven, don't you? But yet the Son of God was a man. He was born of a woman. But yet he was in heaven. He said, no man has ascended into heaven except the Son of Man who came down from heaven. He said, Nicodemus, the Son of Man who is in heaven. And I say again tonight, we're sitting together here in these wonderful heavenly places. I say tonight that God has made us equal to himself. No man shall be above his master, but every man that be perfect shall be as his master. And though we say there's nothing impossible to God, we fail to remember that there's nothing impossible to man as long as he walks with God. As long as man is one with God, the Bible said all things are possible to him that believe. So then, inasmuch as there's nothing impossible with God, when a man becomes one with God, there's nothing impossible with man also. What a great, wonderful calling we have as sons of God. I made the statement last night that ye people are gods. Ye that believe on Jesus Christ, ye are not human beings. Ye are gods. You pass from that life of human beings and you passed into that world of gods. You're not of this world. God has chosen you out of this world, and God has hid you with Christ in the Holy Spirit, or in God, whom the heavens have received until the time of the restitution. If you've been born again, then you've been translated into the marvelous kingdom of God. For the Bible says that God hath right now translated you into the marvelous kingdom of his Son. Is that right? So tonight, we are translated into the kingdom of God. Where am I tonight? I am in the kingdom of God. Jesus said there's some standing here that shall not see death until they see the Son of Man coming in the power of the kingdom. Did you know there was people back there that didn't die until they received the great Christ in the Holy Ghost, as Christ himself came in the power of his glory and came into their heart and set up the kingdom of God in the hearts of mankind. Did you know that? And today the kingdom of God is within the heart of a man. The kingdom of God is within the heart of you tonight. The kingdom of heaven is within you tonight. You know, a lot of people say, well, Brother Pike, when you say the kingdom of God, that's one thing. But when you talk about the kingdom of heaven, what about that? The Bible said the kingdom of heaven is within you. It's one and the same. So then tonight, here we are sitting together in these heavenly places. What a grand and glorious thing. Our Heavenly Father has broke the appointment with death. Tonight we pass from death unto life. We pass from death unto life. Tonight, we are not of this world. We are not of this world. For God has chosen us out of this world. Out of this world. You say, well, Brother Pike, when I look around me, I'm still in the world. Well, why don't you come up here where I'm at? And then you won't be in the world. It's a lovely place up here. Hallelujah. So then God has chosen us out of this world. And God has hid us with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received until the great millennium, the restoring and restitution of all things. God has by his Spirit sealed your inner man, your inner spirit, to where it cannot be spotted. It cannot be blemished. I made the statement last night. People that are Christians don't need to go around being afraid that they're going to sin. Did you know the devil has kept people preoccupied and kept them from the Father's business by keeping them in the condition of fearing that they're going to sin against God? But did you know that a Christian cannot sin? It is impossible for a Christian to sin. Why should you then worry about doing something that you cannot do? Why should you do that? If you cannot sin, why then should you worry about sinning? Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, I feel that if we do real good, we won't sin against God. But the Bible didn't say that. You might say, well, I feel like if we keep walking in the light as he's in the light, we won't sin against God. But the Bible didn't say that. The Bible said, he that is born of God, he cannot sin. For he is born of God, and he cannot sin, because the seed of God remaineth in him. And the Bible said, he that sinneth is of the devil. When a man sins, it means he's never been born again. He's of the devil, that's why he sins. But when a person is born again, beloved friend, they do not sin. Therefore, why should we worry about sinning if we cannot sin? Why should I spend my time worrying about something that I cannot do? You say, but Brother Pike, what if you're wrong? If I'm wrong, then the Bible is wrong. And if the Bible's wrong, why worry about it anyway? We are saved by faith in the Word of God. And the Word of God says, he that is born of God, he cannot sin. Somebody say, I love Jesus. All right, let's examine it just a little bit and see, as we look at it in detail, if that would be right. I said last night, if an elephant brings forth, then we go down to the zoo to see an elephant. If a young lion brings forth, we go down to the zoo to see a young lion. If a human being brings forth, we go over to see a human being. Are you listening now? And when there's a new birth in the church, and the church brings forth, God brings forth, we go over to see a... Somebody tell me. I said, if God brings forth, we go to see what? We go to see a God. Because if an elephant brings forth an elephant, then God brings forth a God. That's why the Bible said we are the sons of God. Now, beloved, are you the sons of God? And I say again, when they started to stone Jesus, Jesus said, for what good work do you stone men? They said, for a good work we don't stone you. Said, but you being a man, make yourself God. He said, because I say that I'm the Son of God, they said, you make yourself a God. Did you know tonight, if you confess that you are a son of God, you make yourself God? Are you listening? I said, if you say tonight that you are a son of an elephant, that makes you an elephant, if you really are. Did you know that? If you really are born of an elephant? And did you know that if you're born of God, then you really are a son of God? And did you know that if you are a son of God, then that makes you a God? Jesus said, why do you want to stone me? For a good work we don't stone thee, but you being a man make yourself God. He said, is it not written in the scripture that I have called ye gods? Check it out, folks, in the Old Testament. I went back to check it out just to see. I went back there and looked at it, and Jesus said by the Holy Spirit back there in the mouth of the prophets, he said, ye are gods, but ye shall die like men. Somebody would say, Brother Pike, if you are a god, you couldn't die. I agree with you. Gods don't die. Gods live on forever. Isn't that right? But he said, you're gods, but ye shall die like men. How do you agree that Jesus Christ was God manifested in the flesh? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word came forth, put on flesh, dwelt among us, and we beheld it as the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. In the beginning was God. God was the Word, and God was made flesh and dwelt among us. Is that right? So then, was Jesus God in the flesh? Yes, he was God in the flesh without measure. And inasmuch as Jesus was God, did he die like a man? He died like a man. Is that right? He hung upon Calvary and died like a man. Brother, you can be a God, but because of lack of knowledge of what you are and who you are, then that means you have lack of faith in what you are and who you are, and you fail to do like Enoch did and translate yourself and go out of this world alive, and you have to die the death of a man. Somebody say hallelujah. What a day that we're living in. Paul said, now is made known to the church the manifold wisdom of God, that's in heavenly places. How is it tonight that the manifold wisdom of God in heavenly places is made known to mankind? Because the church tonight has gone up into them heavenly places, and they're sitting in those heavenly places tonight, and they're having communication with God, and they're having communication with the angels, and tonight they're enjoying that wonderful knowledge of God, that heavenly knowledge of God. You love Jesus? So then tonight, we are gods. This age is the greatest age of them all. I said last night that even the psychics are beginning to say there's going to be a people that ain't going to die. There's psychics that's beginning to say, Brother Joe, that there's certain people that's not going to die. The psychics said the reason we say this is we've discovered that in the psychic world, that there are people that think different. And because of their thinking, they're going to live on. And now medical science that thought man was so feeble have decided that his body doesn't deteriorate like they thought, that his mind doesn't deteriorate like they thought, that his organic parts doesn't deteriorate like they thought, and that man should live at least 300 or 400 years with proper care. Now, I go beyond that. I say that man's body's in better shape than that. I've been preaching it for a long time, that this body's not feeble at all, and someday that they would discover exactly what I'm telling you, and that man could live 800 or 900 years before the flood. 800 or 900 years. The same body is here today. Why is it the body is so feeble today? If the body could last 900 years then, why can't it last 900 years today? Why is it? Somebody say, well, that was before the flood. But I say again, check up on Noah. Noah lived hundreds of years after the flood. Isn't that right? What's the difference? There is no difference just because the flood come on the earth. Then where is the difference, Brother Pike? The difference is in the increase of knowledge. As knowledge increases, death increases. Because the carnal mind is imitative of God, and the smarter a man gets in his intellect, the more he disbelieves the word of God. The harder it is for him to believe in miracles, the harder it is for him to believe in the supernatural, because he begins to reason in his intellect. Isn't that right? Where did the trouble start? In the garden. The very minute that Adam and Eve partook of that fruit that was forbidden, didn't they take a nosedive, as we say? Didn't God excommunicate them? Didn't he put them out of the garden? Just as soon as they ate of that forbidden fruit, what happened? All of a sudden, the Bible says that God put them out of the garden. Did you notice the scripture stated there that when God said put them out of the garden, he spoke of putting Lucifer out? He put the serpent on his belly. Isn't that right? When God excommunicated him there, did you notice what he said? He said, lest man puts forth his hand and partake of the tree of life and live forever. That is to say, Lucifer is in man now. I made man the prince of the world. But Lucifer has overtaken this man. And now Lucifer has become the prince of the world. And get this man out of here before Lucifer has him to partake of the tree of life and live forever. You love Jesus? And so God drove him out of the garden. Thus Lucifer today is the prince of the world. I might get a repercussion out of this, but I'm going to say it anyway. The Bible says that God put the old serpent on his belly. Said he put the serpent on his belly. And did you know the serpent has been on his belly ever since? Said in the last days, they'll be eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage. Such was the case until the day that Noah entered into the ark. And they knew not when the flood came and took them all away. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. What is the likeness of that day? All flesh had corrupted its way before God. Did you know today you can't find a lady? Did you know today you can't find a real gentleman? Somebody said, well, there's one or two around, you just never met them. There's not any around to meet. Why are you so bold to say that, Brother Pike? You just never met me. Oh, yes, I don't have to meet you. I believe what the word said. It said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. All flesh had corrupted its way before God. God looked down and he looked for a righteous man. Looked for a righteous woman, said he couldn't find any. And so God laid upon Jesus Christ the iniquity of us all. Therefore, God bruised him for our sins and our transgressions. The chastisement of our peace he laid upon his back. So then tonight, the old serpent is on his belly. Are you listening? That's all the old serpent knows to do is to eat and drink. Eat and drink. Now listen, the Bible said all of his labor is for his belly. All of his labor is for his belly because his belly craves it of him. Somebody would say, Brother Pike, your shoes sound undignified. You know, some of the dangers of the world, some of the so-called dignified people, they don't like for you to talk like that. But nevertheless, the serpent is still on his belly. And the old serpent was to eat dust all the days of his life. Whatever springs up out of the earth, that goes into the belly. Isn't that right? Made of the dust, eat of the dust till you shall return to the dust. That's why the writer said you are a crooked generation, a generation of vipers, he called them. Isn't that right? That's the reason he said it's beast. And he said it's brute beast made to be taken and destroyed. Some of them are brute beast. You know there's beast and then there's just brute beast. Now listen for just a minute. Did you know there's three things in the world that is a must with people? They've got to have three things so that the world will survive. One of those things is religion. One of those things is recreation. One of those things is government. No people can survive without a coordination of government. They must have some kind of systematic order of life. No people can survive without recreation. The body must have recreation. No people can survive without a religious conviction. Even men like Alexander the Great that conquered in the years gone by, they did it because of the Hellenistic religion. Isn't that right? They always had a religion to give them the drive that they needed. And did you know that today the world is just the same? Those three things are preeminent in men's life. Those are the three things that's going to bring about the mark of the beast. Religion's going to help to bring it about. Government's going to help to bring it about. And recreation is going to help to bring it about. Those three things are the three things that Satan is going to use to bring about the mark of the beast and to unite the body of the beast and to bring together the unity of the beast. Have you noticed that when John speaks of the beast, he said he came up out of the waters. And then when the Bible speaks of what the waters are, he said it was people. And scientists bear that out and that they say that the biggest part of the body is water or fluid. But here comes the beast up out of the waters. John beheld him, isn't that right? When he came up out of the water, John said, I saw that lion head. I saw that leopard body. I saw the bare feet. What is that? That bare feet of the communistic government that will carry the world. What was that leopard body? That old sports system of baseball and football and volleyball that'll get into every church and every country and every nation in the world. Did you know that Russia, they'll close the door to you and you can't go in. But if you want to have sports, they'll open the door and they'll have fellowship with you as a nation. What is it? The old Greek thing. Look back there and check it out and see if that's right. The same visions that Daniel had back there when he saw that bear raised up on his side and devour much flesh. Isn't that right, the Medo-Persians back there? That same vision that Daniel had. Check it out and see if I'm telling you right. Look back there at Alexander the Great, that young leopard that was sweeping across the country that Daniel saw. That same Hellenistic practice, that same thing that goes back to sports when you go back to the Greek side of it. When you see that lion, look back there and see if it ain't the same old Babylonian system that was carried over that the Bible speaks of in the book of Revelation. That same great head of that lion back there. What is it? It's the same thing coming together in that Trinity move that's going to combine forces to bring about the mark of the beast. And where is the beast? Everyone that's not born of God, everyone that's not the predestinated, everyone that don't have their names wrote down in the Lamb's Book of Life, the Bible said they'll wonder after that beast. Why will they wonder after that beast? Because they are the beast. Some of them brute beasts. Made to be taken and burned. That's why science today still tries to prove that the origin of man is a beast. They keep trying to trace it back to baboons, back to monkeys, back to tadpoles. Why? Because they know there's something somewhere. Every person that's not a son of God, every person that's not in that membership of that great, wonderful God of heaven, in the predestinated works of God, is a beast, and they will wonder after the beast. You say, Brother Pike, what do you mean, wonder after the beast? The women will wonder after lipstick and rouge and paint. They'll paint their eyes up like a lizard. Are you listening? The women will bob off their hair when the Bible teaches that the woman's hair ought to be long because it's a symbol of the glory of God and that the glory should be upon the shoulders. The women will dress out in pantsuits instead of acting like a lady. Are you listening tonight? They'll dress every way but like a lady. They won't look like a lady. Why? They're going after the beast and the fashions of this world. Even the churches are doing it. What are they doing that for? They're wandering after the beast. They'll wonder after eating. They'll wonder after drinking. They'll wonder after passions. They'll wonder after television shows. They'll wonder after all the things that the world has to offer. They'll wonder after money. They'll wonder after fame. They'll wonder after popularity. They'll wonder after worldly entertainment. They'll go out there after sports. Why? Because it's the world. Even the religious sect of people will do it. And you know what? Not only will they do it, beloved friend, but if a preacher tells them anything different, they'll pout and they'll bristle up like an old beast, and they'll walk out or they'll leave or they won't come back. But glory to God, the sons and daughters of God are marching through Zion, marching through Emmanuel's fields and moving right on toward that great, wonderful city of God. Hallelujah. What is it? Because they are gods. They are not beasts. They're not on their belly. They're not on their belly. They're not interested in eating and drinking. Jesus said, I have meat to eat that you know not of. He that overcometh, I will give to him to eat of that hidden manna. I will give to him to eat of that hidden manna. My brother, the world is forming today in a beast unit. In a beast unit. In those three things that I mentioned tonight, the beasts are coming together. They're confederating tonight in religion. They're confederating tonight in sports. They're confederating tonight in the government. And those three things are linking together. If you don't believe that's true, you check it out and see if Brother Pike's telling you right. What is it? It's the beast. The beast is coming together. It's coming together. They're all wandering after the flesh. For the flesh is the beast. They're wandering after the flesh. The devil savors the things that be of the beast. He savors the things that be of the flesh. All of them are wandering after the flesh. For it said everyone whose names were not written down in the Lamb's book of life wandered after the flesh. They wandered after the beast. Now listen. The Bible said God put the serpent on his belly. And his belly, all of his labors for his belly, because his belly craves it of him. And a lot of times I bring out this little thought. It sounds a little comical. But I don't do it for that purpose. I bring it out to show you that the Bible is true. Every man is on his belly. He labors for his belly. Every day of his life he works so that he can feed his belly. Either he works to feed his belly, or he works to get himself a house that he might put a bed in, that he might lay his belly down upon that bed to cover his belly with that house, to keep the water off of his belly and to rest his belly through the night to where he can get up in the morning and work some more to get some more to feed his belly. If he buys an automobile, he buys an automobile to where he can ride his belly from shop to shop and soda pop to soda pop to where he can feed his belly. And all of his labor is for his belly because his belly craves it of him. The Bible said God put him on his belly, and on his belly he shall go all the days of his life. Oh, beloved friend, what a moment, what an hour. But we are not serpents. We are not the seed of the serpent. We are not that one. That is the wrong kind. We are the seed of the woman. We are the seed of the woman. You know, the Bible said it shall come to pass that a woman shall compass a man. A woman shall compass a man. You say, what do you mean by that, Brother Pye? That a woman shall bring forth a child when there never has been any union. She shall compass a man. And so then the Son of God by virgin birth come forth, being the seed of the woman. And the Bible said the seed of the woman, which is the church, it shall bruise the head of the serpent. Why does it bruise the head of the serpent? With that little stone called Christ Jesus, the mind of God, the word of God, put in that little sling of faith that David used to overthrow that giant, to smite him right in his head. Isn't that right? It's overcoming. It is smiting him in the head. It is accusing that evil knowledge of science, falsely so called, that Paul spoke about. It is coming against that educational system that is causing the world to turn out to be a bunch of beatniks and turn them into rock and rolls and sports fans and everything else and taking their minds off of God and off of spiritual things. Look at Revelation 12. What is Revelation 12? John said, I saw a great wonder in heaven, and maybe one of these nights we'll enlarge on it. But here's the great wonder in heaven. The old red dragon waiting to devour the man-child. Isn't that right? Now, who is that man-child? Jesus Christ. Who is Jesus Christ? The membership of his body in the earth today. Are you listening? Bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. Isn't that right? So then here the man child goes up to the throne. And what is that throne? The mind of Jesus Christ. The mind of Jesus Christ. One of these nights we'll bring it out concerning the different heavens. And I'll prove to you that this is right. Here it is up in heaven. John sees this great wonder. Isn't that right? The woman is fixing to bring forth. Here is the man child. All of a sudden the man child goes up into the third heaven. See Paul with that revelation? See Paul with that revelation? Somebody said, wait on, Brother Pike. All right, let's just look at it. Somebody said, is Jesus going up? Look at the beginning of the church ages. Wasn't it Paul that established those nine churches? Wasn't it seven of those churches that Jesus Christ spoke of? He didn't call them church ages. We call them church ages. He called them the seven churches. He was in the midst of the seven churches. Wasn't it Paul that established those churches? Name the churches and see if it ain't the same churches that Paul established around in the Asia Minor over there. You'll find out it's exactly the same one. What was it? It was Christ. Because he made it plain. He said, God has chosen me to reveal Christ in my life. Not I that liveth, said it's Christ that liveth within me. Look down at the end of them church ages, as we call it, and see if it ain't the same Paul standing in the midst of the candlesticks. The same Paul standing in the midst of the candlesticks. Somebody say, Brother Pike, that was Jesus Christ standing in there. I know it. Paul said, it's not I that live, but Jesus Christ. That was Jesus standing in the midst of the candlesticks. That was Jesus in the life of Paul. That was God in the earth over there. And there in the midst of those candlesticks, we see that great, wonderful thing. Now look at it. Here this man child, the members of his body. Here goes the man child up to the third heaven. Is that right? It had to be the third heaven. Why? Because it said that Lucifer, the red dragon, was in the other heaven. That must have been the second heaven. That must have been the second heaven. Because it said that Lucifer was in heaven. It said the dragon was in heaven. Did you know the devil is in heaven? How many of you know that the devil's in heaven? You better believe he's in heaven. He's in heaven. That's why the devils pleaded with Jesus when he came over the land of Gadarenes and said, don't drive us out. Have you come to torment us before our time? They said, we're in heaven, so to speak. Leave us alone. Don't torment us and put us back in the pit. I made the statement, the people in America and in the world today, they're in heaven. They're in heaven today. You can't convince them of that. But brother, sister, the moment you get into the flames of hell, you'll know that you've been in heaven. You're in heaven tonight. Somebody say, Brother Pike, I'm going through torment. That's because some of you are in prison. You won't come out till you pay the uttermost farthing. But people that are in the world today have the conveniences of medical aid. If they have a little pain, if they have a little hurt, whatever it is, they've got all the conveniences. Why? Because the blood is still on the seat of atonement. And that blood being on the seat of atonement, that means that grace is still in the world today. That means that the devils and demons can live in human bodies today. And as those devils and demons live in human bodies, those human bodies that have an allotted period of time for grace, that means that those demons are in the grace of God. Are you listening? That's why they said, don't cast us out of Legion. Legion's got a day of grace. Don't cast us out of Legion, they said. Torment us before our time. You understand what I'm saying? Now look at it for just a minute. We're going to close in just a little bit. Here, heaven, the man child goes up to the throne. The red dragon goes out. Goes out from where? Out of heaven. Out of heaven. Lucifer is a spirit. He's a fallen angel. That means he's still in the spirit. He's still in heaven. Did you know that? He's still in heaven. But the very minute that the man child goes up to the throne, according to Revelation 4, when that door is open in heaven, there where it's seen over there at the end of Revelation 7, there at the beginning of Revelation 8, when that angel comes up there and he takes that censer, fills it with the fire off the altar, fills it with that incense, which is the prayers of the saints, reaches back and hurls that thing down to the earth, that means grace is running out. That 30 minutes of silence, that means that the blood's coming off the mercy seat. And when that blood comes off the mercy seat, that angel hurls that censer down the earth. When it goes down the earth, the whole earth begins to reel and rock like a drunk man. Things begin to happen. The whole earth goes into a convulsion. Why? John said, behold, I saw the islands moved out of their places. What was it in that day when this earth was tilted, when Adam and Eve failed to walk upright and their world got tilted? Those mountains went down into the water. But when God gets man upright again, when this message finishes with man, when he puts the mind of Christ in the hearts of men, and men come upright again, and men begin to walk right again, and the sons of God begin to do right again, the whole world is going into a convulsion. And she's coming upright. And when she comes up out of the water, John said, I saw them mountains coming up out of the water. All them mountains that went down that day. John said, I saw them coming up out of the water. All these mountains is up today that was under the water one time. I saw them islands going back down the water. Great earthquakes. The earth all broken up under the sea everywhere. The fault lines. Everything. The whole world breaking to pieces. John said, I saw this. What happened? And the red dragon was cast out. And the red dragon was cast out. Now listen. The red dragon was cast out. Who is that red dragon? That's that old blood life. Listen now. That's that old blood life. Who is that red dragon? That old blood life. It's that old blood life. Now listen. It's that old blood life. That's what it is. It's that birth by blood. It's that old blood life. That's what causes corruption and death. There it is right there. Taken away from the spiritual life that God started Adam and Eve in. It's that old blood life. It's that crooked generation that's coming all the way down from Adam. It's that old blood life. Look at that red dragon laying right there, the woman trying to bring forth a child. Here's the church in hard travail. Here she stands. The Bible said 12 stars upon her head. 12 stars upon her head. There we see the beauty of the teaching of the 12 apostles. There it is. We see the teaching that's in. She's indoctrinated with them. Stars upon her head. And there she stands with a foot upon the moon, the law and the prophets. Founded upon it there, the lesser light. That veil light of God. And there she is illuminated with the wonderful glory of God, which was the sunlight. There she is, and she's bringing forth a child that shall rule the earth with a rod of iron. And that red dragon laying right there ready to devour that child. Isn't that something? Look at America tonight with a foot on the moon. The woman nation with the footprints on the moon. Look at her tonight. Look at that dragon nation of China that came over here. That killer that came over here laying in there ready to devour JC. Isn't that right? Ready to take him, ready to get him, ready to get the leader of the world. Everything perfectly in line. That old communistic dragon laying in there ready to devour with the feet on the moon. I wish we could say some more about it, but let's stick to this one little thought here and finish it up tonight. Here is this great red dragon, this old blood life, waiting to devour that child. How is it devouring that child? Here it is, that old intellectual devil, that old tree of knowledge devil, that old birth life that comes from the blood, laying in there and saying, don't go to church. Come over and let's be a football player. Don't go to church. Let's be a basketball player. Don't go to church. Let's join the races. Don't go to church. Let's be a president. Let's be a celebrity. That old red dragon crying out with his knowledge, trying to devour that child, trying to turn him away from the mind of Jesus. But brother, let me tell you tonight, God said he'd cast that thing out. He'd cast that thing out. He said he'd bruise the head of that serpent. He'd bruise that old intellectual head of that serpent with the word of God. For the seed of the woman shall bruise his ugly head. The war in heaven. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought. And the dragon and his angels fought. And the hot clouds and the cold clouds come together. And the friction started. And the lightning popped. And all of a sudden, out with the devil. Glory to God. There's a war going on, folks. But the Bible said the saints shall rise and take the kingdom and possess it forever and ever. And a voice screamed out in 11:15, the last trumpet sounded. 10:7, the voice said, it shall sound, and the mysteries of God shall be finished. And all of a sudden, it screamed out in 11:15, and the angel sounded. And a voice screamed out and said, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdom of our God and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and forever and forever. And that old red dragon went out. That old devil of sport, that old devil of carnality, that old devil that loves the things that pertains to the flesh. How do you know that the devil loves the ball games? How do you know that the devil loves the things of the flesh? Jesus said, get behind me, devil, because thou savest the things that be of the flesh. Somebody would say, but Brother Pike, if I'm religious, that takes care of all of it. I can be religious and do what I want to. But Peter was religious, and Peter had the keys to the kingdom. But when Peter got interested in the world, Jesus said, you devil, get behind me. And brother, let me tell you something. If he'd do that to Peter, he'd do that to you and me. He'd do that to you and me. This trying to mix darkness with light sort of a religion, that's a false prophet. You listen to me tonight, it's a false prophet. That red dragon has got to go out. A lot of people have it in their mind that God made this world just to have a good time in. Somebody says God loves everybody, Brother Pike. Why do you lie to the people like that? The Bible doesn't say that. The Bible said God is angry with the wicked every day. And he said, I'll pursue the wicked till they perish from all over the face of the earth. He said, the offering of the wicked is abomination in my sight. He said, the prayer of the wicked are abomination in my sight. Brother, if you are a wicked person, you can pray all you want to, but God won't hear you. He said, I will pursue the wicked till they perish from all over the face of the earth. He said, beware ye that forget God, lest I turn you into hell. For all nations that forget God shall be turned into hell. He that God sendeth will speak God's word. What is it? Thy seed shall bruise that intellectual reasoning of that old red dragon, that old blood life that's trying to devour that man child, that Christ that's in the earth and trying to corrupt him and trying to turn him away from the things of his father. Be about your father's business. Be about your father's business, children of God. You've got no time to sit in the front of TV and watch corrupt programs and read corrupt things. The Bible said, if anything have any virtue in him, anything that be lovely, think on these. And the Bible said, shun the very appearance of evil, even in your thinking. Cast down imagination in every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. And bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Jesus Christ. And David said, even to the intents of my heart. You love Jesus tonight. Oh, my brother, God has looked down from heaven. He's heard the groaning of the prisoners, and he's loosed them that was appointed unto death. We have a wonderful opportunity tonight. We have a wonderful opportunity tonight. What a glorious thing it is in Jesus tonight. I want you to stand with me. I could go on and go on. The song said, let's go on talking about this good old way. Let's go on talking about the Lord. Hallelujah. What a wonderful thing. Jesus is doing a wonderful thing. I'm glad to be just a little part of it tonight. The days of grace will be over, beloved friend. And when the days of grace is over, Revelation 8, immediately the turmoil starts in the earth. The 144,000 is sealed. Revelation 7, in heaven, a great multitude before the throne of God. What a beautiful thing. And then it's all over. The blood comes off of the mercy seat. The days of the Gentiles are finished. And when it comes off, then that means no more grace, no more grace. That means that the devil is out of heaven. Are you listening now? As long as the devil can live in a human bloodstream, he is called the red dragon. It's that spiritual devil life in the blood, a crooked generation, a generation of vipers, the beast on his belly. And there he is. As long as there's grace, Lucifer is in heaven. Because where there's grace, that's heaven. That's heaven. The church is in the second heaven. She's travailing. But after a while, she's going to bring forth something that's going to go up into the third heaven. I want to enlarge on that one night because it's beautiful. And there it is. There it is. It has to do with the revelation of Jesus Christ. You say, how do you know that? Well, old brother Paul took a trip. He said, God gave me the revelation. He took a trip. Are you listening? Are you listening? Oh, glory to God. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying unto the churches. Hallelujah. He that hath an eye, let him see tonight. Oh, my brother, listen. Sister, listen tonight. Something is happening. Something is happening. We're changing worlds. There's a transition taking place. If thou canst believe, Enoch was translated by faith. Faith cometh by the word of the hearing. Are you listening now? When the days of grace is over, the blood comes off. That means no more blood life in the presence of God. As long as Jesus' blood is on the seat of atonement, that means blood life can be in the presence of God. which means the days of grace. As quick as that blood life comes off, no more blood life in the presence of God. It has to be spirit life after that. The last man, Adam, made a quickening spirit. The first was the living soul. Am I telling the truth? Is that what the Bible says? All right, let's look at it for just a moment here as we close out. When the grace is over, Lucifer is not in the presence of the Holy Spirit anymore. He is not in the presence of God anymore. Isn't that right? Not in the presence of God anymore, because though he still lives in a human body, yet those human bodies that he is in is not in grace anymore. They're not in grace anymore. They're also in the tribulation and in the darkness and the mind of carnality, which is death, because the grace lifteth from them. But as long as the grace is on them, on the just and the unjust, then Satan lives in the unjust. And that means that they are in heaven, for they're in grace, and also he is in heaven. But when the grace lifts, then there's no more grace to that blood life. Only spirit life can remain in heaven. You follow me? You follow me? Only spirit life remain in heaven. And to do that, you have to go up a little higher. You have to get up into that third heaven. Because, folks, there's going to be war in that second one. There's going to be war in that second one. Glory to God, there's going to be war in that second one. Something's about to happen, folks. That's why I said what I did about this making meeting, being down here in this making meeting. People, even people that are here tonight, different ones of you have special significance in the mind of God in the great revelation of Jesus Christ. Did you know that? I could point out some of you tonight, and I'm telling you the truth from my heart. I could point you out and call your names tonight, and I could tell you tonight where you're at in the mind of God and why God has you at this meeting tonight. But even some of you that are being used of God that are here tonight, by revelation of Almighty God, in that the preparation of man's heart is from God, and in that the steps of a righteous man's ordered by the Lord. Some of you that are being used of God are still not developed enough in God to understand. If I said anything to you about it, you'd get offended, and you wouldn't even be able to understand tonight. You wouldn't understand. But yet I'm looking from you. I'm looking at you from a heavenly perspective, and I know that that's why you're here, because the Heavenly Father showed me that's why you're here. And some of you are in good circumstance, even though you don't understand it, yet you're in good circumstance. God loves you. He's using it. But if I told you, you couldn't accept it because you couldn't see it. But if I had time to talk with you personally for about 2 or 3 hours and orient you into things of God and get you thinking in the right direction, you'd say, my God, Brother Pike, it's true. It's true. It's true. Hallelujah. So then just be glad you're here tonight. Just be glad God loves you tonight. Whether we see tonight or whether we don't see, let's just be glad that God loves us and that God's using us. That's all that's important. That's all that's important. But I tell you, it's beautiful if you can come up to the place to where you can look and see why God's using you and how God's using you and what it's all about in your life. Did you know that? It's wonderful to get in that place, and you can do it, beloved friend. Paul said he went up and he communicated with Peter by revelation. You can walk in revelation. Did you know that? Pray that God will grant unto you. Are you listening now? Pray that God will grant unto you the spirit of revelation. Do you have the spirit of revelation tonight? You say, Brother Pike, I know all about a lot of things. That don't mean you got the spirit of revelation. Did you know that you could take tonight, you could take books tonight, and you can read them, and you can take the paper and read them, and you can go to college, and you can learn everything intellectually you want to learn, whether it's about the Bible, or whether it's about a preacher, or whether it's about preaching, or whether it's about the newspaper, or whatever. But when you get through, that doesn't mean that you've got the spirit of revelation. You can't get over the Jordan into Canaan to get the new manna, to get the new harvest, until you get the spirit of revelation. Let's sing this little chorus together. I love you. God bless you. I love you tonight. But praise God for one thing. Brother Pike knows where you're living. You know, if I didn't know where you're living tonight, I'd be in bad shape trying to carry the gospel. I'd be in bad shape, folks. If I didn't know and I didn't understand, I'd be in bad shape. There's so much controversy in the world today that I have to admit that I admire the preachers that can stand up under the crushing blows and impacts of the things that are being done. That is to say, there's preachers in the world today that they don't see and they don't understand, but they're still God's people. And they understand enough to know that they got to preach the gospel. And I admire them that they can stand up under the crushing impacts, not being able to see any better than they see. But glory to God, I'm thankful tonight that God has made me to see. I'm thankful. I don't say that in any way boasting except in Christ. I don't say it in any confiding way except in the righteousness of Christ Jesus. For I've merited exactly nothing. But I'm grateful because I do know that it's true. I do know that it's true. And so then I'm grateful tonight because Jesus has been good to me. And Jesus has blessed me. The people of Macon, Georgia have received real good. Every night, every congregation that I have had here has received wonderfully. They have listened very good. I've not felt the faith here in Macon that I'd love to feel. I've not felt the faith here. It seems like the people's faith is way down. But so far as their reception, so far as their kindness, so far as their respect for God, it's been very good, folks. Very good. And I'm very grateful because people with that kind of attitude is bound to be in for a blessing. With that kind of seriousness and that kind of respect for God, they're bound to be in for a blessing. All right, let's sing this little chorus together. We sang that little song the other night, "There's Room at the Cross for You." Can we sing it again tonight? There's room at the cross for you. We sing it with me. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. And although many have come, there is still room for one. There is room at the cross for you. If you've never made that total commitment, beloved friend, if you've never called on Jesus, if you've never made that commitment, I ask you to make it tonight. Paul said, "I am persuaded to believe that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that great day." And that great day is coming, beloved friend. So tonight, make that commitment to God. Will you do that? While we're singing this song, if you'd like to come to the altar tonight, will you come? Oh, there's room at the cross for you. If you want to come to the altar is open. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. And although many have come, there is still room for one. There is room at the cross for you. It's for you tonight. It's for you tonight. It's for you tonight. There's room at the cross for you tonight, beloved friend. Oh, what a day. What an hour. What a glorious moment. The sons and daughters of God are getting ready to take this world over. You know, a lot of people say, "Brother Pike, I know that we're going to take the kingdom of God." But, beloved friend, it didn't just say that we're going to take the kingdom of God. It said the saints of God shall rise and take the kingdoms of this world. God's not just going to take the kingdoms of God. We've already got the kingdom of God. It's within us, my brother. It's suffering violence at the hand of men as they persecute us. But we're rising up to take the kingdoms of this world. Revelation 11 says, "And the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our God." We're rising up to take the kingdoms of the world. The sons and daughters of God are going to take the kingdoms of this world. We're going to inhabit this earth. Did you know that? The Bible said the meek shall inherit the earth. Hallelujah. God's going to bring a program. God's going to bring a rest. God's got something on its way tonight. We're going to take the kingdoms of this world. We're going to take the kingdoms of this world. And the Bible said, "And the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our God and of His Christ." Hallelujah. You love Jesus? Everyone that will, I want you to come up to the altar and stand in behind these people tonight. Everyone that will, I want you to come up here and stand in behind these people tonight. Will you do that? I want you to come up here and stand here tonight. You might say, "Well, Brother Pike, I'm not a Christian. I can't come to that altar." The Bible said, "Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord." If you've got breath tonight, you need to be praising the Lord. Because the Lord has blessed you and He gave you that breath. And you need to be praising God tonight. So let everyone tonight that has breath in their body praise the Lord tonight. Can you praise the Lord tonight? Hallelujah. Can you praise the Lord tonight? Let's just lift our hands up and love Him. Can you lift your hands up and love Him tonight? Glory to God. Can you lift your hands up and love Him tonight? What a beautiful sight to see the saints of God lifting their hands up to God tonight. The Bible said, I would that men everywhere lift up holy hands without wrath and without doubting. If you've got anything against anybody, the Bible said, forgive them. But if you forgive not men their trespasses from your heart, your heavenly Father will not forgive you your trespasses. If you've got one thing in your heart tonight, beloved friend, that's against any person, God cannot forgive you your trespasses. But if you'll forgive your men their trespasses tonight, God will forgive your trespasses tonight. You must forgive from your heart tonight. You must forgive from your heart tonight. You must forgive from your heart tonight. What a beautiful thing that God is doing tonight. What a beautiful thing that God is doing tonight. Lift your hands up and let's love Him for a few minutes. While they're playing here and we're worshiping God, I want you to worship God with me. I want you to worship God with me. Can you worship God with me? Just close your eyes and let's love Jesus for just a moment. Can you do that? Hallelujah, Father, in the name of Jesus tonight. Lord, sweep over this audience tonight. Sweep over my soul tonight. Oh, hallelujah, as I feel the quickening of the Holy Spirit tonight. Oh, God, heal these sick bodies tonight. Father, forgive these people tonight. Oh, God, do away with sin tonight, Father. Do away with sickness tonight. Father, do away with corruption tonight. Do away with doubt and despondency tonight. Father, break every evil spirit off of these people tonight. Take away every bondage tonight. Father, let them go free in the Spirit tonight. Knowing that you broke the appointment with death tonight, let us rejoice, Father. You said they that dwell in heaven, let them rejoice. And these people are sitting in heavenly places tonight. They're in places of rejoicing tonight. Tonight, Father, let them rejoice in the Lord tonight. Can you rejoice in the Lord tonight? The Bible said, ye that are in heaven, rejoice. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth, for Satan is come down among you. He is down there like a roaring lion going about, seeking whom he may devour, for he knoweth that he hath but a short time. But, oh, beloved friend, tonight, you are they that dwell in heaven tonight. And the Bible said, ye that dwell in heaven, rejoice, ye that dwell in heaven. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I feel God tonight, don't you? As you call on Jesus tonight, as you call on Jesus tonight, the angels in heaven rejoice over one soul coming to repentance rather than over 99 that needs no repentance. If you've not repented tonight, beloved friend, repent of your sin and call upon the name of Jesus. For it shall come to pass that whosoever called upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And tonight God is looking down. God is rejoicing tonight with us. God is rejoicing tonight with us. For when we are grieved, He's grieved. When we rejoice, He rejoices. When we are happy, He's happy. Oh, friend, He's touched by the feeling of our infirmities tonight. What a glorious high priest He is. The angels of heaven are rejoicing tonight. The angels of heaven are rejoicing tonight. Rejoice with them that rejoice. Weep with them that weep. Rejoice with them that rejoice, the Bible said. For the angels in heaven rejoice. Hallelujah. While faith is here, while the Holy Spirit is moving. Oh, glory to God, I feel sincerity. Glory to God, I feel the power of God here. I feel the moving of the Holy Spirit here. I feel God moving tonight. Hallelujah, the power of God is in the midst of us tonight. The Spirit of God's in the midst of us tonight. The Holy Ghost is moving in the midst of us tonight. Here, these grounds are becoming holy tonight. As God moves, let's move with God tonight. Let's move by that Spirit tonight. Let's follow Christ tonight in the wonderful blessings of God and enjoy the presence of the living Spirit here tonight. Christ is resurrected from the dead tonight. Jesus is resurrected from the dead tonight. He said, because I live, you shall live. And folks, He's alive tonight, which means you and I can live also tonight. Let's live tonight. God is the God of life. God is the God of life. He doesn't want you to die. He's the God of life. Love Jesus. Love Jesus. Love Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. While they're praising God tonight, if somebody wants to be prayed for, I want you to come up on the platform tonight.
Don't refuse me. Surely there's a work that I can do.
If you want to be prayed for, come up on the platform tonight. Can you? We're going to pray for you. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, I feel faith tonight. Glory to God, I feel faith tonight. I feel the moving of the Spirit tonight. How do you feel the moving of the Spirit tonight? Brother John, come up here and pray with me, will you? Hallelujah. Glory to God. If you love Jesus, lift your hands up and love Him tonight. Hallelujah. Brother Elrod, come up here and pray with us, brother. Let's love God tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You ministers that are out there tonight, come up here and pray with me. Let's pray for these people tonight. You that are ministers, come up here and let's pray for these people tonight. Let's pray that God will do something for them tonight, friend. It's your responsibility. It's my responsibility. God has called us for this purpose. We're supposed to pray for them that God will grant repentance unto life unto those that are without. It's our duty tonight as shepherd to look after the sheep until the chief shepherd appears. Hallelujah. What a grand and glorious moment it is to rejoice in the things of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you love Jesus tonight, if you're a minister, come up here tonight and help us pray for these people. Hallelujah. Let's pray for these people. Father, in the name of Jesus tonight, I ask you to heal these bodies. Oh, hallelujah. Deliver these people, Father. May your spirit come down tonight. May the glory of God be here tonight. May the power of God move under this tent tonight and heal these people. Oh, mighty God of heaven, let your spirit be here. Heal, save, deliver in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus. Father, touch this girl tonight in the name of Jesus. As these ministers lay hands upon her, may the healing power of God be here. Father, heal tonight. God, deliver tonight. God, drive out evil spirits tonight in the name of the Son of God tonight. Father, touch this brother tonight in the name of Jesus. May thy spirit move here tonight. Give us the power of God in our midst, Father, to heal and forgive tonight, to deliver tonight. Oh God, let thy spirit be here. Hallelujah, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Father, touch this sister tonight in the name of Jesus tonight. Touch this sister. May the power of God be upon her. Lord, heal tonight. Let your spirit be upon her. Break the yokes tonight. Glory to God in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I feel the power of God tonight. Father, bless my brother tonight in the name of Jesus. Let the Spirit of God be here. Let the power of God be here. Let the glory of God move tonight. Hallelujah. Father, touch this little one tonight in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'll tell you what, we prayed for a lady over in Jeffersonville, Indiana, our last meeting. She had cancer. She was under doctor's treatment, and we prayed for her. She'd been that way for a long time. Couldn't rest. God healed her. She went back. The doctors checked her and couldn't find the trace. The x-rays couldn't find the trace. And I believe God healed her tonight. You believe that? You really believe it? All right, I want you to lift your hands up. Let's pray, brethren. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus tonight, I want you to heal this body. Move this cancer out of this body. Move this cancer out of this body tonight. We condemn it in the name of the Son of God. We condemn it, oh God, in Jesus' name tonight. Hallelujah. By the power of God, in Jesus' name, we condemn this germ and this disease. Satan, I adjure thee by God, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Loose this woman. God, I command this germ to die, in the name of the Son of God.
Holy Ghost is that latter rain. We need the rain, Lord.
I believe you've done it. Lift your hands up and love me. Lift your hands up and love me. I believe you've done it. Hallelujah. Let's praise God tonight. Can you? I believe God done that tonight. Let's love Jesus tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus tonight, touch this person, Father, as we pray here tonight. May the power of God come down upon this body tonight. Oh, God, heal and forgive tonight. Father, deliver tonight in the wonderful name of Jesus. Do something for this body in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come around, your sister. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Father, touch this body in the name of Jesus tonight. While the Spirit is moving here tonight, while the power of God is here tonight, I ask you to heal this body. Let the glory of God come down.
Oh, hallelujah. Lord, as we give thee glory and praise tonight, lifting up our voice like a trumpet tonight, praising thee, O God, making a joyful noise, making a loud noise unto the Lord, as you've commanded us to do in the Scripture. Father, we praise thee. We give glory to thee tonight. We ask thee to heal tonight. We believe that you're healing tonight. Father, heal this body in the name of Jesus tonight, in the power of God tonight. Oh, hallelujah. Grant it in the name of Jesus. May the Spirit of God heal in the name of the Son of God tonight. In the name of the Son of God tonight, Father, heal this body. Move by your Spirit tonight in the name of the Son of God. Heal in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. I feel the power of God. Father, heal this little body tonight in the name of Jesus. Father, heal this mother tonight in the name of the Son of God tonight. I ask you to heal. May the power of God be here. May the glory of God be here. May they go on their way rejoicing. May healing take place tonight. Father, I feel it taking place tonight. Come right up here, sister. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, as we pray tonight, I feel the power of God. I feel the Spirit of God. I feel the glory of God. Father, heal this person tonight. Let the glory of God be here tonight. Oh, hallelujah. In the name of the Son of God. Oh, I feel faith. Hallelujah. I feel faith tonight in the name of Jesus. Father, touch these bodies. Heal tonight in the name of the Son of God. Hallelujah. Lift up your hands and love the Lord tonight. Father, in the name of Jesus tonight. Lord, we pray for this body. Heal this body tonight. Deliver tonight in the name of Jesus as the saints pray and believe tonight. Oh, God, in the name of Jesus tonight, may your Spirit heal tonight, Father. May the power of God be here. Let the power of God come down upon this woman. May she be delivered. May she be healed. May she find peace. May she find rest. The name of the Son of God. In the name of the Son of God, I feel God moving. Hallelujah. Can you come right on up here and let us pray for you tonight? Folks, lift your hands and love Jesus. Lift your hands and love Jesus. I feel God doing something here tonight. I feel the yoke being broken. I feel people being healed tonight. I feel God doing something here. I feel devils being cast out. I feel God doing something. Come on over here, sister. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we lay hands upon these people tonight. May you heal. May you heal tonight. May you deliver tonight in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Come right on up, sister. Hallelujah. Touch this little one tonight in the name of Jesus. Touch these little ones in Jesus' name. Touch them in the name of the Lord. Touch them in Jesus' name tonight as I lay hands upon them in the name of Jesus. Fathers, we lay hands on the sister. May the power of God be here tonight. May the healing be here. I feel the power of God. I feel the healing of God. Hallelujah. Fathers, we lay hands on them tonight in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God. Just move right on up, sister. Y'all just move right on up. Let God touch you tonight. I feel Him moving. Hey, let's lay hands on Him, brother. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Moved by your Spirit, moved by your power. Hallelujah. Father, moved by your power tonight. May the love of God be here and the deliverance of Jesus. Heal, forgive in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Touch these little ones tonight, Father. Touch them in the name of Jesus tonight as we lay hands upon them. Oh, God, in the name of Jesus, touch these little ones. Father, as we lay hands upon this sister tonight, may the power of God be here. May the blessings of God be here. Lord, look down the heart and soul. Heal, forgive, deliver. Give a vision, give strength. Oh, God, I feel you healing tonight. I feel you blessing tonight. Hallelujah. Lift your hands up, folks. Love Jesus tonight. Can you love Jesus tonight? Father, in the name of Jesus tonight, touch this body tonight. Heal this body. May the Spirit of God move here tonight. Oh, God, let her receive the desires of her heart. Satan, the Lord, rebuke thee. Thy spirit of unbelief, the Lord, rebuke thee. In Jesus' name tonight. Heal in Jesus' name, Father. Father, touch this body tonight in the name of Jesus. Satan, the Lord, rebuke thee tonight. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, heal tonight, Father. heal in Jesus' name. Fathers, we lay hands upon these people tonight. May the Spirit of God be upon them tonight. Heal, dear God, and deliver. May your Spirit be here tonight. Hallelujah. Let's love Jesus. Let's love Jesus. Praise is becoming to the upright. God inhabits the praise of His people. God is a Spirit. God inhabits the praise of His people. God, touch these little ones tonight. Touch their little bodies in Jesus' name tonight. Hallelujah. Father, touch this body tonight in the name of the Son of God. Hallelujah. Love Jesus tonight. Love Jesus tonight. Touch this little one, Father, in the name of Jesus tonight. In the name of Jesus tonight. Hallelujah, Father. As we lay hands upon these people tonight, may the Spirit of God move. May the power of God be here. Oh, God, deliver tonight. Reward in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I feel faith tonight. Do you feel faith? Lift up your hands and love the Lord if you feel faith tonight. Let's believe tonight. I feel God doing something. Father, touch this body tonight. Hallelujah, in the name of Jesus. Let the Holy Ghost be upon this person tonight. Oh God, heal, forgive, deliver in the name of Jesus. The name of the Son of God. Father, touch this little girl in the name of Jesus tonight. Lord, as you move by your Spirit, hallelujah. In Jesus' name, God, touch the sister tonight. Move by your Spirit tonight. May the power of God be here. Oh God, let thy Spirit be here in the name of the Son of God tonight. Hallelujah. Somebody say, I love Jesus tonight. Can you say, I love Jesus tonight? Can you say, I love Jesus tonight? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, as we lay hands upon this sister tonight, may the power of God be here. May the Spirit of God be here. May the glory of God be here. Moved by your power, Father, God, reward this sister. Satan, the Lord, rebuke thee in the name of the Son of God. Hallelujah. Father, touch this body tonight in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Moved by your Spirit, Father, in the wonderful name of the Son of God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Let's love Jesus. Let's love Jesus. Father, tonight, touch this body tonight. May the Spirit of God be here tonight, Father, to heal. Oh, glory to God, to deliver. In the power of God, in the greatness of God, in the anointing of God, let the anointing of God rest mightily upon my brother. Heal his body. Oh, yes, Father, I feel you doing it now. I feel his faith right now, Jesus. Hallelujah. I feel the blessings of God right now. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Father, touch this body in the name of Jesus Christ tonight. May the Spirit of God be upon it. May the power of God be here. May faith move tonight in the heart of this person in Jesus Christ's name. Hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus tonight, move by your power, move by your Spirit tonight. Let the glory of God come down upon this person tonight. Heal and deliver, oh God. Touch this little one tonight in the name of Jesus. Father, in the name of Jesus, touch these little ones as I lay hands on them tonight. Hallelujah. Father, touch this body tonight in the name of Jesus. Let the Spirit of God move. Let the power of God touch this life. Let deliverance be here tonight, Father, in the name of your lovely Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I feel God tonight. Father, touch this body tonight in the name of the Son of God. Let the Spirit of God be in this heart. Heal and save and forgive in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, touch these little ones tonight as we lay hands upon them. Can you rejoice in the Lord tonight? The Bible said rejoice with them that rejoice. Can we rejoice tonight? Father, touch this body tonight. Touch it in the name of Jesus. By the Spirit tonight, let the power of God be here. Let the glory of God be upon this body tonight to heal in Jesus' name. Father, deliver tonight in the name of Jesus. May the Spirit of God be upon this body. May the power of God heal. May they deliver in the name of Jesus tonight, Father. I'm asking in the name of the Son of God. Hallelujah. I feel faith, folks. I feel faith tonight. I feel the glory of God tonight. Hallelujah. God, in the name of Jesus tonight, touch my sister tonight. May the Spirit of God be upon her tonight. Oh, I feel the anointing, Father. I feel her faith in the mighty name Oh, glory to God. How many feel that tonight? I feel the glory of God here tonight. I feel the power of God here tonight. Hallelujah. I feel Jesus doing something here tonight, my brother. Somebody say, I love Jesus. Say, I love Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus tonight, touch this person, Father. May thy spirit be upon her tonight. May the power of God be upon her. God, deliver tonight. Oh, Jesus, in your name, Jesus. Hallelujah. May your spirit, Father, come down, and may every yoke be broken. Satan, the Lord rebuke thee tonight. The Lord rebuke thee tonight in the name of the Son of God. In Jesus' name tonight. Somebody say amen. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus tonight, God, break every yoke tonight and heal this body and deliver in the name of Jesus tonight. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus Christ. Let's sing that chorus together. Can we, Brother Taylor? Oh, it's in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I've got the victory. Can you sing it? In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Demons will have to flee. For when we come